It's Vanessa Bierschiffer from the southwest of France, Collioure. I'm by the Mediterranean Sea, and I'm going to give an account of the French, European, and general elections that took place in June and July of this year. And in the second part of this broadcast, I'd like to talk to you about the ceremony to the Olympic Games, which made quite a buzz and a fuss because there were some cryptic symbolism that I'd like to discuss with you. First off, the European elections took place last June. Usually in France, well, all the time in France, we go to the polling stations on Sundays from 8:30 to 6:30 in countryside and 8:30 in big cities. And this time, the European elections took place within one day, one Sunday. And not so surprisingly, what the French people did is that they rebuked and they rebelled against the government that they have in France. That's something that's very usual for European elections because, like, people tend not to vote for a program or for people they really like. They'd rather vote for people that will be in opposition to the government. They want to say that they're not happy with the government, with the way things are managed. And the European elections is for them no risk. You can vote for anyone you want. It doesn't really mean that you will see the consequences right away. I think it is due to the fact that Brussels seems very far away from the French people. They still see Paris as the capital, the places where decisions are made, even though they gradually understand that most of the regulations, not to say all of the regulations we have, are taken and decided in Brussels, in Europe, and then the national parliament just transfer it and translate it into the French regulations. Actually, since we no longer have a French currency and all our currency is in euro, we're not really independent. And most people don't realize that the regulations we have is really a translation of the European regulation and laws into the French system. So much so that it's very funny to see the marketing policy that we have here in France and on all European countries. When you're building a new infrastructure, or when you're repairing an infrastructure, or when we're doing a new project, sometimes, most of the time, you have a big billboard that says the European Union is funding this for you. And then you have the amount, 10 million euros, 1 million, 500,000 euros. And doesn't matter what the amount is, it says Europe is funding for you. In reality, what happens is that the French government sends big funds to Brussels, and Brussels funds projects in Europe in different countries and says it's Europe which is funding for you. While in fact, it's the French people's money that goes to Europe. It's a very clever, very funny way, and very smart way of marketing, of doing some marketing for Europe. And also, they do that to promote regionalism and to say that, in a way, it's a way of saying, well, you don't need national government anymore. You have Europe. Europe is funding things for you. So let's do with just the regional bodies and a federal government, a big federal European government, and doesn't really matter if you have a national government anymore. But in the French mindset, since we're very centralized, we used to be very centralized, people still think in majority that decisions are made in Paris, and Paris is the heart of France, which is psychologically still the case. So we're in between two systems. So this time, like the other European elections, French people rebelled against the French government, and Marine Le Pen's party, Rassemblement National, which could translate into a national rally, Arrived first with a majority of votes, 31%, one third of the voters made up their mind for Marine Le Pen. Then you had the what we call the center left, center right, Macron's party with 15%, and then the socialist with 14%. And the extreme left with 10%. So basically, the National Front, Marine Le Pen's right first, and then you had the center right, center left, extreme left, which gives you an idea of how the votes are very, very, how to say it, very divided. You have a lot of small parties, you have coalitions of parties, and so you can have 5%, 3%, 2%, 50%, 30%, which I think in American mind is very difficult to think about because we don't have these big parties or bipartisan structure. We have a multiple parties, and then they will form coalition. So after the European elections, Macron decided that that was a revolution. That was a big event that to see that Marine Le Pen's party was the first at the European elections, which to me wasn't not a surprise and wasn't even something we're not used to. So he basically decided to call off new general elections a month. That will take place a month after the European elections. We had an idea that Macron was going to call off new general elections, but the big surprise that he will do so right after the European elections and just before the Olympic Games. Most people and most specialists thought that he will do so in September or October. It will call for new general elections, but not that short after the European elections and not that short before the Olympic Games. That was a very clever and very twisted-minded decision because he knew that the parties were financially restrained. They had put all their money into the European campaign. He knew it was a very short time to organize for the parties for these new elections. And he knew that people will be a bit scared to vote for, exotic or very strange people because we have the Olympic Games going forward. So everybody was taken by surprise. I'll say it was at the limit of the legal system. I'm not sure it was really supposed or even allowed to do so, but in any case, he did it. So we had the general elections in June and July. With the general elections, we have two rounds. The first round, you have to have 12% of the votes to qualify for the second round. And in between rounds, candidates can decide to walk away from the elections, and it's when usually parties negotiate with each other and decide who's going to run and who's going to left the election, who's going to leave the election. And this time it wasn't different. What happened on the first round is Marine Le Pen party arrived on many places arrived first. Her candidates arrived first. So the trick that Macron and all the left used to try to beat her up was to say she was extreme right, she was racist. She was completely demonized by Macron and the socialists and all the left and extreme left crowd. And so that will, in their minds, it had justified that their candidates, if they arrived third or second, maybe, they will not run anymore and let the best of the left or Macron's team or central left or central right candidate run against Marine Le Pen. So, for instance, if you had three candidates who qualified, had 12% or more of the votes on the first round, let's say you have a socialist and you have a central right and you have a Marine Le Pen's candidate, one of the two, socialist or center right, will not run anymore and let the other go against Marine Le Pen's. And then mathematically, it will, of course, allow for one, this candidate, this remaining candidate, it will mathematically make so that she or he will win against Marine Le Pen's candidate. It's a very tricky system. It allows for political parties to make alliance against one candidate. And so in the end, eventually what happens is that the number of seats you have in the parliament, a party has in the parliament, doesn't reflect the number of votes, but it does reflect the alliance that some parties make with each other. To give you an example, and I will show you the numbers on the screen. You will have the numbers. This time, the National Front, or now it's called the National Rally, got 38% of the votes and has 94 seats. The center left has 23% of the votes, but has 151 seats. So you see that the National Front, well, National Rally, Marine Le Pen's party, has more votes, but less seats than the center left. It's the same for the center right. So the number of seats really reflects the coalition, the alliance between parties, more than the real votes that you get. This has been a problem and issue for years and years and decades. Depending on the political atmosphere, they're bad. This system can have bad consequences because people can say, well, we're not represented. On the same time, it does provide some kind of stability in the parliament because parties are obliged to find a majority among themselves. So it's a question of balance. And rather than saying, well, this system is very bad, it's not democratic, I'd rather say what is bad is the morality and the ethics of politicians. Because this time around, the bad stuff was that Macron and the left and the extreme left and the center right, they all said Marine Le Pen is a devil, this guy. Her staff, her people are racist, and she was demonized once again. And that was not a good thing for the nation because a lot of people voted for her and a lot of people respect her. So I think it's the ethics and the lack of morality that is more at stake than the electoral system per se. I think there's two things I'd like to discuss more into specific. The first thing is that all the press, and especially the foreign press and the Anglo-Saxon press, said that the extreme left had won, that in spite of Marine Le Pen's gaining a lot of votes on the first round, it's the extreme left and the left that got the second round. And this is terrible for France. France is an extreme left country. But if you look at the numbers, it's not what happened at all. But when I say not at all, it's not at all. The coalition of the left is not a new thing. The first time it happened was in 1981 when President Mitterrand got elected. It's the first time when the center left, the socialists, and the Communist Party formed an alliance, and that allowed for Mitterrand to get elected. Before then, the socialists will never agreed to ally themselves with the communists. 1981 is a event, is a transformation. It's when the communists and the socialists make an alliance together, and then the left got the upper hand. The second time we had a major leftist coalition was in 1997. At that time, the president of France was Chirac, Jacques Chirac. He was a center-right, right-wing president with a center-right, right-wing National Assembly. In 1995, the prime minister wanted to reform the pension, the retirement system in France. We got major strikes. When I say major, I say for weeks in winter, and all the country was blocked. After that, in 1997, Chirac decided to call off new general elections. And I presume that most of his political staff thought that he will win the general elections. Now, 25 years, well, more than 25 years afterwards, 28 years, I will say that he didn't really matter for him because it was a tactic, because he wanted to be president again, and the presidential elections were due a little bit after the general elections of 1997. It's really important to have this in mind because Macron did the same calculation this year in 2024. So what happened in 1997? The left organized a big coalition and was then called the plural left because you had extreme left, left, socialist, center left. And well, they had 319 seats. I'll say 319 seats in 1997. And the socialists only by themselves got 242 seats. Well, if you compare to now in 2024, the United Left has 158 seats compared to 242 seats in 1997. So the left didn't win, and the left didn't even match the record it got in 1997. And but what happened, and you'll see in the numbers you'll have on the screen, is that the left, the socialists, got split in two. One is with the is going with the extreme left, and the other side is going with Macron, and has entered his party called the Ensemble. Well, Macron's favorite game is to change his party's name, so you never know. Well, you have to recall all the names that he has had for the past several years. Now it's Ensemble, together. So together has a part of the center right, center left, and a part of the former socialists. And the left coalition, the leftist coalition, has the official socialist party, the left, and the extreme left. I'm not going to give you all the names of this small parties because it's too complicated, but just remember that the left we have in 97 got split in two, and now we have actually in France we have three main movements or waves. We have the left, extreme left, we have the center right, and we have the right with Marine Le Pen. I'm not going to call her extreme right because she's not. I think her platform or program doesn't qualify for extreme left. That will be wouldn't be very ethical to say. So at least we can say that she's very conservative in some areas, even though socially speaking, on this she's more liberal than conservative. But when it comes to economy, I'll say she's conservative, and she's by any means. I think she's deep down a patriot, not nationalist, I'd say, but more patriot. She wants France to be France and not one of these European regions that the Brussels want us to become. So the left and extreme left didn't win. They're split up. and they're split between Macron and Mélenchon. Mélenchon is the leader of the extreme left, and now is marketing on the media, on the TV, on the press, on the social networks. He's saying, well, we deserve a prime minister because we came right first. So actually is making a big campaign with a new young leaders who could qualify as prime minister, and he's demanding Macron to that one of these candidates become next prime minister. It's all campaigning, it's campaigning, it's all what we call bullshitting. But he's really strong at pushing this forward and make it be us believe that they won. The second thing I would like to debunk is that I don't think that the votes have been manipulated, or that they're being twisted or changed. And I would like to show you why. When you go to the polling station in France, you have to show first, well, there's a couple of staff there, political and administrative staff from the city hall. You have to show one thing. You have to show your ID card. They check that you are who you are, or you claim to be. And then we check with your, I have to show it to you. Let me check. Yes, I have it. Carte électorale. And on this card, you have your a special number. This number is written in a registry, the voting registry. So they check if your ID matches your voting card, and they check if your voting card is well registered in the on the proper voting polling station, on the polling station. And then when the check is done twice, you're allowed to put your little envelope with the candidate's, the name of the candidate that you've chosen, into a plastic, well, more than plastic, it's more solid than just plastic, a big box that's transparent. You can see through it. And there's one envelope by voter. And if you want to give a proxy, you have to go to the police station. You have to fill out a form. You have to give the name, of course, a copy of the ID and the voting card number of the person you give the mandate to vote for you on your name. So it's not an easy process. It's something you can do easily, but it takes time, and there's double check, and the number of proxies is limited. I mean, it's really well regulated. So of course there can be places where, you know, some envelopes show up at the end of the day, or maybe when members are registered on the administrative level, maybe they can be twisted a little. But I don't believe that really you can manipulate the votes. And that's why Macron and the left and all these people had to do this marketing and campaigning, non-ethical campaign to say that Marine Le Pen was extreme right, to demonize her, to justify not running too many candidates against her, and to rally as many parties and as many people against her candidates. If he had just been manipulating the votes, they wouldn't have to do all this campaigning and all this manipulation on communication level. So for now, manipulating the votes in France, I think, is very, very difficult. And I think one time on French TV, because the French journalist, so was it journalist, maybe it was somebody else, well, on the set, on the TV set, was saying, well, I don't understand why in the US they couldn't check the IDs. And somebody else was saying, well, it's difficult because, you know, you're voting for so many candidates and for so many elections, so it will be very complex to get an ID and check the IDs. And then I say, well, we've been doing it in France for years, and it's working, and with some preparation and staff, you can do it. So this is, again, pure bullshit. So one thing, the left didn't win, it split. Second thing, the votes are, I think, regular. There's no manipulation. There's no conspiracy theory there. The second topic I wanted to talk about is the Olympic Games, the most beautiful record, the most astounding record. Is that in spite of the European elections, in spite of the general elections, Macron succeeded in depriving us of a new prime minister. So we had the general elections, we have the results, and he opened the Olympic Games without a new government, without a new prime minister. We still have a prime minister and a government, but it's what they call a government of current affairs, so it can manage daily business, but it cannot take main decision. It cannot run the legislative process like a true government can. I'm not telling you the specific qualification, which is very special and very legal. I mean, we have to use very specific legal terms to describe this government, but it's basically a government that can run daily business, police, management, etc., but it cannot run a legislative process. But you know what? The beautiful thing is that Macron, in the beginning of July, I think it's the 4th or 8th of July, asked the general secretary, which is the equivalent of the AG of a cabinet of a ministry. He asked the secretary general of the presidency of the Élysée if he could do so. And also in the note from the general secretary, it said that he could do so, and he could also implements the Article 16 of the French Constitution. What is Article 16? Article 16 says that in case of emergency, we have a special regime, and Macron can implement this article in case of emergency, even with a government and a prime minister which is not in full status. It's simply running the current affairs. So when I heard about that from somebody who's really, really into the legal system and the French political system, I told myself, okay, if anything happens in summer or September or maybe October, he's not obliged to call a new government. And is not obliged to have a new prime minister, and he can basically run things without any parliamentary oversight. Okay? What can happen? At that time, I thought maybe something can happen during the Olympic Games. Today, it's August the 9th. Nothing happened except the ceremony. But we can imagine that something can happen, like a international conflict. A disaster, anything can trigger the Article 16 of the Constitution if the president wants it to be so. My intuition, my feeling is that Macron is very smart at making us wait and wait for something he knows is going to happen. We don't know is going to happen. My first feeling, like this one was during the Yellow Vest movement, Macron organized big debates, round tables in France, in many small places in the countryside, inviting politicians, inviting city mayors, and they will discuss for days and days and days. And I told myself, why is he wasting so much time when people are complaining and want results and want reform? And my gut feeling was, I don't understand because there's no elections real soon. So why is he wasting so much time? And then we have the lockdowns with COVID-19. And I think it's the same process here. He buys up time. His thing is to stay as long as possible and make people tar, fed up as long as possible. And then it's just wasting our time, but it's continuing till something will happen. I don't know what it is, but in my gut feeling is that he's waiting for an event. I don't know what it is, but something must be happening soon. Anyway, the Olympic Games. We had this ceremony in Paris. Basically, the problem, or maybe the beauty of it, is that instead of organizing a ceremony within a stadium, he or this, the team or the people in charge decided that Paris itself will be the place of the ceremony. So you have a big city where they decided along the Seine River, the River Seine, you will have all the ceremony, and nobody knew or had a hint of what the ceremony will be like. The one thing that was for sure is that the center of Paris was meant to be completely locked down with barriers all along the Seine River, with no way of looking into the Seine River, see what's happening. There were blockades everywhere in Paris. Since beginning of July, you couldn't drive and cross the river, the Seine River. Also in June, it started. I mean, basically, the area where I have my office looked very, very empty because people couldn't really drive and go their way around easily. So a lot of Parisians, when they were able to, decided to go to the countryside and leave Paris earlier this year. And well, we didn't know what to expect, but we knew that we couldn't move in July, and probably most of August too, because afterwards we'll also have the Paralympics. And I think it was yesterday the news came out that Macron wanted, on September 14th, he wanted all the French sports people to walk through the Champs-Élysées and have a parade. I mean, it's what the Romans used to call bread and circus. We have a lot of circus and less bread. But anyway, it seems like it's working. So what about the opening ceremony? The one scene that really shocked me and a lot of French people and a lot of people overseas and in the world was that on one of the bridge, just on the Seine River, you had a series of transvestites, how do you call them? People disguised in different figures. Women being men being women. And in the center, this large woman with a crown, and the whole scenery looked like the Last Supper. And then gradually you could see that it was a fashion show with transvestites, with transgender people, with kids, and all coming out this scenery that really looked like the Last Supper. Well, we're a bit used of the Catholic symbolism being twisted, mocked, turned around, and used in a blasphemy way. But this time it was really, really shocking for a lot of people. Even myself was kind of used to it, I'll say, because we have a tradition of mocking the Catholic Church. And it's been a century that the church and the state have been split up, really. And it's been 40 years, I'll say, since the 60s that artists, people from the theater, from the left, and it's usually the extreme left, are used to mock, turn, and change the Catholic symbolism. I'm saying Catholic because even though there's a lot of Christians and people are not especially Catholic, France is a Catholic country by tradition. And And if even if people don't really practice, a lot of them don't practice Catholicism on a regular way, it's in our blood, and then it's in our culture. Some of my friend once said, you know, it wasn't the Last Supper, it was something else. And I said, look, maybe they're saying, I mean, the people who created this show say are saying, and that actually it's what they're saying, because the critique was so hot and so violent against it. They're saying, oh no, it's not the Last Supper, it's another picture, it has nothing to do with the Last Supper. But I watch it, and the second I saw it, for me, was the Last Supper. And the shocking thing was that you had this transgender fashion show mimicking the Last Supper, and it was in no way related to the sports world. And what is doing a Last Supper in a ceremony that it's dedicated to sports? Doesn't have any coherence. It's not coherent. It has nothing to do with it. Second time I was shocked. It's I'll show you the pictures. You'll see it on the screen. We have Marie Antoinette, the poor lady was the wife of Louis XVI, who was beheaded during the French Revolution. And there she was, carrying her head under her arm, a blooded red blood dress, with her head under her arm, and the head was talking. Well, you have this heavy metal music band playing at the same time, with splashes of red ribbons and red lights, mimicking the French Revolution bloody period and bloody places. That was shocking because, well, it has something very dark and sinister in it. It wasn't just the mention of our revolution period. It has something more sinister to it, more dark, and all at the same time, it was very, you know, careless, very light. We don't care. It's just for fun. You know, we did this, but we did that, and it's just a fun. And once again, I wonder what this time, the period of our history had to do with the sports world. And frankly, none. So maybe they wanted to give an history of France. They wanted to give a series of symbolism of our past or culture. But I think the problem was that it wasn't related to the sports world in any way. A third time, I wasn't shocked, but I was amused, but half amused, is that Lady Gaga ran the show, and she sang and she danced like a very famous French cabaret singer. I mean, you could see that the woman had put her effort and energy in it, and she had been rehearsing a lot, but the result was a bit strange, because at the same time, for me, it was very old. It was old-fashioned, doesn't relate to the French that we're living in. And at the same time, I was wondering why would Lady Gaga be involved there? Why we have all this American international fashion or musicians coming in, being paid with high fees, for with high amounts of money. And their show is maybe professional, but it's there's no grace, there's no beauty. It's just a rehashing of the past with bad taste, basically. That's for the worst parts. Now I'm going to talk about the good moments. I think the really good idea was to have these sports people on the boats under the Seine, along the Seine River. You had the teams of all countries on different boats, and they were waving, and it was very nice, very light, and I think that was a spending idea. Also, you had some singers who were excellent. Céline Dion is, of course, an iconic singer for us. Again, she decided, or the team decided, to have her sing a very old song that is very meaningful in France, but at the same time, maybe. To me, again, it was old-fashioned. I think we have splendid people, very talented people that most people don't know yet, especially overseas. And I would have had like some more modern style with elegance and grace. So basically, the ceremony had very nice idea, very interesting ones, very talented people, and at the same time had this dark and sinister symbolism. And it's not by chance. Someone at the head of our country is giving out this sinister note. And let's be frank about it, Macron and his wife are both responsible for picking up the people who were in charge of the ceremony. And it's not by chance that you have this mix of strangerism, mockery of Catholicism. It's a sinister mix. And I think, well, they want to get us bathing into their dark and twisted-minded world. But at the same time, I don't think it's going to work, because if you see the results of the elections, Marine Le Pen and the right, I mean, conservative votes has a majority in France. People are conservative most of the time, but they're conservative in the way that they don't mind if you want to live your life in a different way. They don't mind if you want to be a woman or a man. What they don't like is that the image and the representation that our head is making of French people is completely twisted, and we're being lied to. The one thing that works is that the media, the press, and the social networks are highly financed by the state and highly financed by private interest, are really good at making us believe that this is the new ideology, this is the new ethics. But in reality, French people are not like that at all. Doesn't represent them. The countryside is very happy about the Olympic Games. They're very happy to see sportsmen in nice areas of Paris. They're very happy about it. Most people won't criticize the ceremony in public, but in private, then of course we'll have very nice discussion about what we think these people think we are. I think we have a very twisted-minded couple at the head of the state. And I think in US, Candace Owens speaks of them in a very informed way. And if you're interested in this topic, I will advise you to hear what she has to say on Macron and Brigitte, especially, because she's been reading a French private newsletter that is really well informed and has a very good level of research. And if you want to know what's happening and who these people truly are, I will recommend you to listen to Candace Owens and watch her video on this topic. So for the moment, we don't have any prime minister in full respect. We don't have a government in full respect. We have a twisted-minded couple at the head of the state. And I expect some events or something to happen and for him to trigger Article 16 on the Constitution, probably September, October, in the fall, when people will be very upset, and especially looking at their pockets and what's left of the little money they have. Well, I hope you enjoyed this broadcast, and I'll say bye-bye to you and from the South of France, from Collioure. Bye, have nice holidays.